So this is Aaron Simmons. Pastor Aaron, would you like to come on up and share with us? And he brought his daughter with him. It's Chloe. Is that Chloe's with us? So we're glad she's with us today, too.
Okay, now we're good. Yeah, your pastor's got the anointing there. He's got the touch. I'm from Tip City, and I'm going to just start with my daughter. She drew a prophetic painting and a little drawing here, and also did some just some prophetic things. So we're going to let her come up. She's my oldest daughter of four, and so we're very excited. We get to journey through life with four. I'm good. Am I? Oh, no, she's okay. I think she's just finishing up. But anyway, we get to journey life with four daughters under the age of eight and eight and under. So we're it's been an interesting week. Our youngest daughter is 11 months old, and she's the most amazing baby we've had. She's Chloe. But she's easily consolable. She's happy. You look at her, she just smiles. Since birth, she's done that almost. You just look at her, she's as big as grin, and she's just full of joy. She's an amazing girl during the day. Then comes night, and it's like she's demonized or something. I think Friday night, we had a big day yesterday, and Friday night, I think I got 2 hours sleep. My wife got about an hour and a half, and she's trying to kind of break her through that night. But she's 11 months now. This should not be going on. So I've been sleep deprived the last week, but I feel full in Jesus. Even a train in Kenton tried to stop us from getting here, but we still made it. But all right, you want to come up, baby? And then you got the other two? Okay, so let's see here. She drew, I'll let you pick who you want to give it to. Is there a John here? She did a little prophetic thing for anybody named John. Who's John? Anybody John? Right here. Is this you? Right here. Are you John? Okay. So she did John, joyful, outrageous, helpful, and nice. So this is for you. Yep. Krista. Is there a Krista? Wow, that's kind of a rare name. I was kind of nervous, actually. So come on, there's a Krista. Krista, you want to come up? Courageous. Righteous, in love with Jesus, super trustful and awesome. So, there you go. Yeah. Who do you want to give this to? You just find somebody that's highlighted and just point them out. Just pick.
Her
in the blue?
Yes.
Okay. This is a picture of a bridge, and it says on the back, strong and courageous. And she really liked the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. So I don't know if that means anything to you, but maybe it's bridging transitions, going from one place to the other, and God's opening up new territories for you. So, yeah. Yeah, Chloe's awesome. She's gotten to travel around the world a little bit with me, and she's seen crippled hands. There was this arthritic hand in, where were we at? St. Lucia, maybe? Mexico? You've not been to Mexico yet. Anyway, I remember there was a crippled hand, and Chloe went to pray for her, and an arthritic crippled hand, an elderly lady, all of a sudden it just went whoop, full mobility, no more pain. Now, this was when she was like six, about a year ago. Kevin Debman, he's a friend of mine. Have you guys had Kevin here? Okay, I know you've had Chad. I didn't know about Kevin. But anyway, he was at our church, and there was somebody with a shortened leg significantly. He was actually in a wheelchair and was sitting in the front row. And they had prayed, and nothing happened. So Chloe goes up, prays for this lady, and all of a sudden, whew, it shoots out. So she's seen legs grow 6, 7 years old. She's 8 now. But by 7 years old, arthritic hands, so she has a crazy anointing. How many believe that our children do not carry a junior Holy Spirit? They don't have a different version of Jesus than we have. They have the full Jesus. There's not a little version, a little kid version. It's all of Him. And we just need to demonstrate these things to our kids so they can walk it out. And it's much easier for them because the concrete's not set in yet, right? And having to relearn everything like I've had to do. And but anyway, it's so good to be here. You have such a wonderful church. I just feel the freedom here. I feel just fun worship. I feel creativity. I feel like you guys have cultivated a great culture of prophetic. And man, I was just telling Pastor Perry, what a great demographic too, the young, the old, all the different diversities here. I love seeing that. So you guys look really, really healthy, and it's an honor to be here. I've got just a few things back there. I have a spiritual father, Leif Hetland, so I've got a few of his books just because they've hit me here. So if they bless you, just do it. If you can't afford it, just make a good offer. just needs to be better than 50%. That's all I ask for. if not, no big deal. Anyway, I also have a few message series that I brought. That's I think one of these might be a year and a half old. One's a few months ago, and one was just a few weeks ago. But one's a Simply a Life in Him. It's I did a message once, Simply Jesus. So this was kind of spun off of that. I think sometimes we complicate the gospel and we complicate things. What would it look like if a church, a small group, a family just plants Jesus, just Jesus, and then we build everything around that rather than trying to do a program? So this was like Simply a Life in Him. And so the first step is surrender, sow, and then serve. And because whatever we surrender to, we're going to sow and serve. I love to hunt, and I used to worship. It was an idol for a few years of mine. I loved to deer hunt, and I would miss church. I would invest in it. I'd buy the best guns, the best bows, all these things, because I was sowing into it, and I was serving it. But the final week of this, we allowed a serving opportunity for our people to sign up. We had more people in 1 week sign up for serving than we had had the previous 3 years combined. So if you want that, it's back there. Also, family, a culture of family. This has been a while. But really, the best three messages on here, I think, are the dinner table, campfire, and gone fishing. Everything starts at the dinner table. God calls you His bride, not a fiancé, because He wants intimacy with you. Okay? He desires an intimate relationship. So it all starts, in my opinion, most dates start at a dinner table. Our family time, we get intimate at the dinner table. So He called His disciples. They had communion at a dinner table. They broke bread together. From there, the upper room, campfire, recreation, being with each other. There's unity in that. There's never an outer circle in a campfire. It's just one circle. So everybody has a plate that they can bring to the dinner table. They have their own sauce. The diversity of that, we come together. Then, after all of that, we go fishing. We go fishing for men. We do recreation together, gone fishing. My daughters and I, we were all camping with my wife. And Olivia, my second daughter, she caught a big fish. Or Chloe caught the fish. And all of a sudden, we're getting pictures. She hands it over to Olivia because Olivia hadn't caught a fish yet. And she's like, it's Olivia's fish. Because it didn't matter who got the glory as long as the glory's gotten. So that's gone fishing. But anyway, there's a few others in that. And then the last one, sonship. This is one of the most recent ones for me. I've had a radical encounter the last few months since April. So anyway, that series was birthed out of that. I don't even know if there's like a real order to it. It was just every week I'd get up and I'm like, well, what am I going to go from the heart this way? Oh, sonship again. So I think there's 5 weeks on sonship. One's a radical story about the hardest week I went through in my life ever. I lost my mom a few years ago, and I found myself Mother's Day morning. I had to work extra at the fire department. I'm administrative now at the fire department, but I had to work through the night. And at midnight, we get a call. I was working on a fire truck and on the engine company. And we get a call of an apartment complex on fire, kids trapped. So we get there, my partner and I, there's only a two-man crew on this engine. And it's just he and I were the first ones there. We get 3 blocks away, there's smoke throughout the whole neighborhood. We get there, there's flames ripping out of this apartment complex. It's confirmed that there's a baby inside. So this was after 6 weeks of heavenly encounters. I'm coming into this 6 weeks face-to-face with Jesus almost every night. I was at a graduation party that afternoon, just feeling the presence. I was laughing. I was weeping at a graduation party because I was just overwhelmed by God's goodness, the Father. Go here at midnight, that happens. The door is blocked by furniture. We can't get in. We push our way in. We try to get in. I somewhat get trapped. My helmet starts to melt. I get pulled out. I try to jump in the upstairs window because the baby was supposed to be upstairs in a bedroom. My face piece melts. So we can't get in. Finally, they rule a defensive fire, knowing that there's nothing we could do for the baby by this point. So I sit at the front door of spring water. The next day was Mother's Day, so my wife spoke. I came home. They sent me home at 7 in the morning because after all of that and the fire cleared out, I went in and did the recovery and had to find the little baby. The baby ended up coming downstairs 10 feet from where I'd made it the first time. So, you know, as a fireman, you're paid to do these things. You're trained. On my way there, I'm a visionary. I'm a dreamer. I picture myself, I'm driving the engine going up over one of our interstate overpasses, and I can envision myself going through the steps, going up, doing a search pattern, rescuing that baby coming out. And so Sunday, the following, a week later, after a week of not being able to feel his presence, after a week of going and laying on our prayer floor for hours, begging to feel God's presence, begging to feel the Father's embrace, and I can't, and not knowing what I was going to do, you know, I'd be at dinner table, at the supper table, and I'd just start weeping. My wife, not even knowing what I was going to do that week, I come to the following Sunday morning not knowing what to preach, not knowing, I'm like, God, what, am I just going to read a journal entry from a year ago? This isn't me, you know? And all of a sudden, he says, go to Matthew 4. I open up the Bible, and it's just after Jesus' baptism where he's tested, and Jesus says, Satan says, if you are the Son of God, then do this. And Jesus says, no, the Scripture says. All of a sudden, he allows me to remember my memory. When I went to the front door to start spring water, I began to weep in my mask, and I hadn't remembered this till this moment, weep in my mask and begin to worship and saying, God, you're so good. God, you are good. You're good. I don't understand this, but you're good. And he just reminded me at that moment, it doesn't matter what happens. Feelings don't matter. Emotions don't matter. What happens when your things hoped for doesn't happen? What happens when things don't work out the way you planned? What happens when you can't feel him? What happens when you don't feel like feeling him? The truth is what matters. And that is, he's good. So that message is tied into there as well. Who wants that one? Okay, Hugh, I think I saw your hand first. Who, the family culture, it's about cultivating a culture of family. There's 6 messages. Who would like that? In the blue, green? You see now. I don't know. It's like both. And then simply a life in him. Here you go. Okay. And then if you want all 3, by the way, those are MP3s, so I could fit all the series on one CD. So if it doesn't play in your car, don't start cursing me out yet. All right. You can take it home, put it on your computer and stuff. But anyway, this is a USB with all of them on it. So if you're interested, go there. I hate doing advertising, but I think it's just good for you to know what my sauce is. So those are the 3 big messages I'm carrying this season. So it's not advertising. God's good, right? Okay, what I'm going to bring, first off, I'm a fireman, so I think I've become known as the guy that raises the dead, okay? So you'll learn today that's not who I am. That's not what I want to be known for, okay? I want to be known for a son, as a son. It doesn't matter what I do, it matters who I am. That is a product of who I am. So if you hear, like, if you've heard of Scuttlebug, he's seen dead, yeah, I've seen, I think, up to 6 now, radically raised from the dead, and it's awesome, and I've seen thousands of miracles now. I've seen cancer tumors fall off, scoliosis back straighten up, I've seen all that, but the greatest miracle of all is Jesus. It's the greatest miracle of all, and everything I'm doing and everything I'm witnessing is only a byproduct of what's happening in here and who I am. And the other thing is, I just believe he can do it. That's the only difference between a lot of Christians and me is I just believe he wants to and he can and he will. A lot of people are afraid to step out. I learned this in medicine. It's called practicing medicine. So we're just trying to do our best. So I've realized I'm just practicing. So when somebody's dead, you can't mess that up. You can't make dead more dead. All right? So if they're not breathing, you're not going to make them any more dead than they already are. If their heart hasn't stopped, you know, some of these have been dead for hours, and I can't mess that up. I can't do anything to make it any worse than it already is. And it's the same thing with you and everybody's life. You can't mess this up. God's too good to even allow you to mess it up. But if they're dead to sin, in sin and they're not alive in Christ, they're dead. You can't make them any more dead. So the only thing you can possibly bring them is life. Okay? That's how I've gone into this. So I will share 2 stories, but then I'm going to get into a real message.
The second one I saw, by the way, I prayed for hundreds of dead bodies before I saw the first one raised from the dead. And I think I heard Heidi Baker, she prayed for thousands of blind eyes before she saw the first one healed. And I'll just say, because I was trying to do it rather than be it. Okay, so it's not what I do that makes me who I am. Who I am makes me do what I do. Okay, so that's just where I'm coming at. So when I transition my heart, when I transition my faith and where God was in all this, all of a sudden, boom, 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 now they're happening. Fast forward a few, I think the fourth one or so, I need to journal these. I've not even written them down. I just go from memory. One was an elderly man that wrecked his car because of a cardiac arrest. So he had a heart attack, wrecked his car, he's dead, had been dead by the time I got there, because I ride around in a little vehicle and I just kind of go where I want to go, and I'm our fire marshal now. So now when I hear cardiac arrest or somebody's dead, not breathing, I go. So you can see a lot of dead rays when you see a lot of dead people, okay? If you're in the medical field, it's like taking candy from a baby, all right? Because God is to, He makes wrong things right. So if it's not their time, it's not. If you want to know what God wants to do, find out His nature, figure out who He is. If He's called Savior, what's He want to do? Save. If He's called Healer, what's He want to do? So I'm only coming into an alignment for His assignment because He's making wrong things right, and He was broken so we could be made whole. So that's all I'm doing. So that one, I get there, he's blue, he's dead, they've pronounced him, the officers, they're even away, they've covered him up with a sheet. I just walk over and I'm like, "Ooh, Jesus," comes to life. Well, I'll get to the details of some others, but here's the funny part of this story. He had a do not resuscitate order. He was like 82 years old, and it doesn't matter. I don't care if they're 100. I'm going to pray, "God, if it's not your time, come to life." So, and I just command it and just come into the peace of God and release heaven. So the family gets to the scene, and they're ticked off. They are mad. They get with the officer on the scene. They're like, "What happened? He had a do not resuscitate order. You guys knew about it. What happened?" And the officer actually had to tell them, "Yeah, we didn't do anything, and I don't know what you believe." And that my firemen, they're like mixed. Half of them, you know, they probably don't believe, and they're like, "He's a crazy nut." But when they have somebody dead, they're like, "Aaron, you should have been there." That's now the reputation. Like, "Man, this was tragic. Aaron, you should have been there." So, but anyway, so he had to explain to them, "No, this guy just prayed for him, and we don't know what happened, but we," because there was no drugs, there was no defibrillator, nothing. There was nothing. He had a DNR, and we had proof of that because his wife was with him in the car. Anyway, so that was one. But here's the one of the coolest ones. Well, they're all pretty cool. Let me tell you about the one where we had done CPR. We had defibrillated for, I think, 45 minutes. And we can call in the field once we go through several steps. Sometimes it takes about an hour. That had all happened. Well, then nothing was happening. So I'm just like, this was the first one that I laid hands on and I saw. Second one I had seen happen because there was a family there, like just touching his feet and going crazy. And, you know, just like that was before I was kind of in this stream. I was like, "That's weird." And all of a sudden, you know, go through this process, he comes back to life. I was like, "Okay, there might be something to this." So the first one that I laid hands, so we had worked him dead, blue, I mean, just totally discolored. And so we pronounced him, and I'm like, "All right, I'm going to try this. This is, you know, I'd done this several times, nothing was working." I was like, "Gee," I didn't even get Jesus out. And all of a sudden, he goes, pulls the tube out of his mouth and says a bad word, says, "I'm not ready to go yet." Looks at me, says, "And my chest hurts." "Yeah, we just probably broke all your ribs." And so now the firemen are like, "Now what? We got to transport him. He's probably got broken ribs." Completely fine, gets released from the hospital within a week, had a heart attack or something, but totally fine. Not on a ventilator, not a vegetable, nothing. I don't count any of those. The ones I count with the six, full realm of life, fullness of God. And I'll just say this. I'm saying it's easy because I'm a fireman, but I was at a hotel, and we just go check in a hotel about once a quarter just to give our kids a breather, just to connect, just to have fun. We live a fast-paced life. Fireman, pastor, traveling the world and a father of four daughters. So sometimes we just need a breather. So a couple times a year, we just like to have fun. So we're at a hotel. We go to Dayton, and God just tells me, if you've ever stayed at Drury Inn, half the pool is inside, half the pool's outside. So it was winter. God just told me, we're just sitting around a table, and my kids are swimming in the pool, and God told me to go outside. So I went outside, and I look in the bottom of the pool, and there's a girl in the bottom of the pool. So, yeah, we had our whole family there on this trip. So I jump in, I pull her out. She's white, blue, had been in there a while. I try to do mouth-to-mouth. I do mouth-to-mouth. Nothing works. By this time now, a crowd's gathering. Nothing's working. Doing mouth-to-mouth, doing all these things, starting CPR. Finally, I'm like, this is not working. So there was, I think, probably 15 people around at that point. I was like, all right, let's pray. Lay your hands on this child. So, I mean, these were strangers. I have no idea their beliefs. I was like, but when somebody's in charge and somebody knows the anointing, I was like, lay your hands on this child. So they're all like, okay. So we all lay hands on this little 9-year-old girl, and suddenly, I mean, again, I had been working her 10 or 15 minutes myself by this time, you know, telling people to go call 911, doing what I know medically. Then I'm like, oh, wait, we got to pray. So all of a sudden, she coughs, and I found out later, she was taken to the hospital just moments after that. She coughed, started breathing, was still out of it, eyes were still in the back of her head, and I just started praying, God, let her come back to full life. Let there be no brain damage and all that. Found out, I went to the front desk the next morning, and they said, yes, she was fine. She was needing treatment for the near drowning, but they expected her to make a full recovery. So, yeah. This was at a hotel. This was not at a fire department. So, and I'm just saying, that's extreme cases, but it's no different, and God doesn't celebrate that any different than the stubbed toe where he takes away the pain. You know, or the headache, or whatever. So we can't diminish any miracles, but that just builds your faith. If he can do that through a fireman, if he can do that through somebody that just, you know, I don't consider myself a nobody because I have somebody in me, but I'm just an average guy. I'm an average guy doing supernatural things, and that's what we're all called to do. So if he can raise the dead through somebody like me, he can heal the sick, heal the lame, restore hearts through you, increase faith, all those things. That's what he wants to do. That's his heart. It's not about what I do. I don't want to be known. Every time I talk about miracles and the dead, I always turn it around. It's because I'm a son. I'm not a healer. I'm not that Jesus is the healer. Okay? I'm only a person stepping out into my destiny, realizing that what I've been called for, realizing who I am, okay, and whose I am. So that's just where my heart is. So I just want to speak to you today on a thing of sonship. And I might even reference the one as far as like just that fire that I was in where I couldn't rescue that baby. Tough time, man. You cannot evoke those emotions. The only one that could relate to me was an unbeliever who was my partner. Thursday after that event, he and I was running on the treadmill at the station, and he comes in and he breaks down. He's like, man, how you doing? I was like, dude, I haven't been good all week, just to be honest with you. I haven't been good. I've talked to our Sozo person. I've talked to the department's counselor. They made me see that, you know, and I'm like, and I shared, I opened up, and that Sunday morning on Mother's Day, I met with our Sozo leader. I was like, listen, I just need you to pray for me. I don't know. I don't know what is good to feel. I don't know. I'm just mad. You know, I was just ticked off. I forget where that was going. God's really good. He's just really good. So I just want to talk about being a son. Hopefully red shows up. Can you guys see over here? If you can't see there, there's some seats, and because I want to do my best to do this. Thank you so much. So no one knew what I went through except him. Let me see if I can reach that so you can all see. Yeah, that will work. Is that good for you guys? Okay, and I'll try and move around so you can see. The only one that knew something was him. So after we talked this out, all of a sudden, and by the way, I had night terrors the entire week. I was up all night. I actually couldn't go to sleep. Every time I closed my eyes, I'd see a child in his pajamas burned. So I could not. And that Thursday, I talked to him. And then that Sunday morning, you know, and that helped. It helped. But that Sunday morning, that encounter where I fell down on my office at the church, and he let me see that. There was not one more nightmare after that. There was not one more vision after that. There was not one more anything after that. Because he's so good. But anyway, I might journey through that a little bit. But I want to talk to you about being a son. And so everything in my life has come in seed form. Impartation is always seed form, and it's only as good as the ground that it's planted in. Okay, so when you receive an impartation, the prophetic words that were going out today, even to the gentleman named Samuel, it's seed form. So if I get a prophetic word to move to California, and this is going to happen, and I never take my family and go, that prophecy is not going to come to pass. It's a seed form, and it's up to me whether or not to do something. The first parable in the Bible is talking about seed, and it's talking about the seed and it be on stony ground, thorny ground, hard ground, all that stuff. Because a seed is only good as the soil that it's planted in. And then it actually says in Mark, if you don't understand this parable, then you're not going to understand the rest of them. There's something about the seed and the power of the seed. So 9 years ago last month, I was an atheist. And I'll just kind of tie in the Mark thing and coming off of that weekend. I was all of a sudden, I found myself at a church, and long story short, I get called up to the front with my wife. We were getting ready to get a divorce after 3 years of marriage. I was a drunk, addicted to pornography, all these things, and atheist. I had been hurt as a child, hurt, abused, and just from the church, and just abandoned from the church, and raised by a pastor. I was raised, my dad was a pastor my whole life, in a really, really strict denomination. So it was all performance and all only the fear of hell. That was it. You were just trying to strive, and one day Jesus is returning, and if you're good enough, he'll take you to heaven. And it was all the fear of hell. Never knew the love of a father, ever. So this is just a lot of other stuff going on. So I found myself, married my high school sweetheart, became abusive, narcissistic, controlling, jealous, all these things, because I had a hurt heart, had hardening of heart. Now I'm a fireman, drinking on the weekends, hanging out with people that aren't great influences. And then I find myself getting a divorce. So my daughter, she knows all this. We're really open because I'm not proud of where I've been. I'd do some things over, but it's made me who I am, but God. But God. Tim. So, I really love seeing the different generations here. And I just had a word I just remembered in the shower this morning about the three generations. You're thankful from where you've been. You're thankful from where you were. You appreciate where you are, but you look forward to where you're going. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You had the generation of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, and the cross is the separation. The veil was torn. So there's no separation in time now to where the cross was the beginning and the end. It is finished, but yet this is our new life. We're new creatures in Christ. A new life has begun. So just to see these three generations represented here, I just felt like that word. But let me be really, really quick here. However, let's just go straight into this. This is it's on one of the series, but I do it different every time. This will be the third time I've spoke this. And I think fourth time I spoke it, only second time in the U.S. Mexico had it, St. Lucia had it, so we'll do another American version. But anyway, this is called Sons of Blessing to Sons of Inheritance. And God gave me some fresh stuff with it this weekend for you guys. And talking about seed form. So 9 years ago, 1 month from September 10th, 9 years ago, I found myself in front of a church. Let me get back to that. All of a sudden, I didn't believe in God, so obviously I didn't believe in any signs and wonders. I didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I didn't believe in any of that. When you don't believe in God, you don't believe in any of that, okay? Especially the stuff that was abused in my life. So I found myself up there. They go to just bless us, like encourage us, my wife and I. And it was in Indiana. And all of a sudden, the power of God came into me. I began to speak in another language. I had no idea what was happening. I had not cried at that point in 3 to 5 years, had not shed a tear, had no emotion for 3 to 5 years. It had been so long, I don't remember. All of a sudden, electricity shot through my body. I hit the floor. I wept for hours. This was a Sunday morning. I wept for hours. I finally gained enough composure to head home that night. We drive home at midnight. A two-hour drive took us 4 hours because I could not stop weeping. I could not stop crying. And we get lost. We're circling around Indiana. Finally get home. The whole week I wept. This was an encounter. I was marked at that moment of God. But then what did I do with it? Because see, that was a seed. The impartation came in a form of a seed. If I had come back and done nothing, then really I would have had nothing. But I came back and I cultivated an atmosphere. I cultivated the ground and I stay hungry and I continually pursue encounters. So I went from atheist to revivalist in one moment. Just like that. Only the power of God can do that. So I was marked. I understand that. But I'm saying it came in seed form. So I just want to bring you through a couple stories here. Let's start with Elisha. Elisha, so this is going to be son of blessing. Sons of blessing. See what time it is. Would you believe I failed speech class in college? I'm not joking. I did. I would get so nervous. One time I dropped all my note cards, and then I picked them up, and they're all out of order. I'm like, oh. I sat back down. I said, forget it. So I failed speech class. Now I can't shut up when I'm talking about the goodness of God. So if you can't see, I apologize, but there might be some open seats here. What's that?
Write bigger. Write
bigger. I will try. Okay. That's about as big as I can go for what I need to do here. Okay, so you have sons of blessing to sons of inheritance. Anybody that's in the house is going to be a son of blessing. When you come in to the pastor's covering here, when you come in to Marian Christian Center, there's going to be favor. There's going to be automatic blessings. You're coming into a covering that has favor upon it. I can tell that, and I know that. So all of a sudden, you start experiencing upgrades in your life. You start experiencing promotions and new positions, financial blessings, breakthroughs, freedom, improved marriages, those things. Because you're coming into a house, you're coming into a family, so you're a son of blessing. So that's kind of, everybody's associated with this. Okay, so then when a son of blessing comes in and they're like experiencing this, they automatically think they should be a son of inheritance. And I'm going to explain the difference here in a minute. Because, see, Elisha, when he was out plowing the field, Elijah came and put a cloak over him and says, come follow me, basically. That was signifying, there was a symbolism there that you're a son of blessing, okay? There was a symbolic event there that happened with the cloak. So he said, come follow me. What's interesting, going back to the seed, and this is what's new, he was tilling a ground, getting it ready before, as he began his journey to become a son of inheritance. There was a seed form. He was tilling that ground. So he was out plowing the field, son of blessing. Then all of a sudden he journeys, and long story short, he goes through, and every city they went to, he basically was getting a job offer. But he was realizing he could see, no matter where he was, he could see that what he wanted was the impartation of a double portion blessing. If he had said yes to any of these other areas, it would have canceled his bigger yes here with interest. So his double portion. So one of the first points is, never take a premature yes just because you want to be here. Sometimes we settle and we compromise and we want that, again, going back to that parable of the seed sower, we want the 30, 60, or 100-fold blessing, but we don't want to go through the journey. And we've seen this of people I've mentored, discipled, spiritual sons and daughters, or whatever you would call them. They want what we have here, but they don't want to go through this. They don't want to journey through with a father, and they don't want to hold. Now, we would think that assignment, that task was easy. But here's what the assignment was. Elijah said, he said, what do I need to do to get it? He says, see me when I'm taken up in a chariot of fire and the mantle will be yours. Basically, don't take your eyes off of me. So if you could imagine where they were journeying through and what they were going through, now he could not take his eyes off because if he had not been seeing him when it happened, he wouldn't have got it. See, Jesus' mandate was really simple. His leadership model is simple. Follow me. What was Jesus? A son. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. What was Paul doing? Being a son. In Romans 8, Galatians 4, he talks about the spirit of adoption. He captured sonship. Okay, so Elisha's being a son. He's journeying with the Father. So what happens is Elisha sees him, he gets the mantle, and that's the symbolism of the son of inheritance. He received the double portion, then he operated as a son of inheritance. But it was this journey that was tough. Let me go to a little bit better picture. Joseph. Joseph, his father picks him, puts a coat of many colors around him, son of inheritance. All of a sudden, he gets sold to slavery by his own family. He gets falsely accused for impurity because I believe this, in this season here. See, listen, we want to go, we want the blessing. You know, Philippians 3:10 talks about we want the power of His resurrection. But then, we want that, but the second part of that verse, we don't want the sufferings. We're not, we want this, but we're not willing to go through this. So we want this, the son of inheritance. So we'll just, those of you that can't see, that's over here. Blessings here. We want inheritance, but we don't want to go through that. We want what this has to benefit, but we don't want to go through the journey. And I'm not saying this God punishes and this is, He does not do that. He's a good father, and a good father wouldn't punish. But I'm saying in the trials, James 1:2 says, count it all joy, because going from here to here is not an easy task. Any of you are here, you've been through trials, you've been through circumstances, so how do you get through them? You look here. Joseph, when he was in the pit, he could still see the palace. When he was in the prison, he could still see the palace. Listen, when he was in the prison falsely accused, purity's always challenged here. David's purity was challenged. It's always challenged. But when we can stand the test and we can go, now all of a sudden, there's an inheritance that's waiting for us and we're an heir as children to the living God. So, but when he's in that pit, when he's in that prison multiple times, he can still see the palace. He's dreaming. Why? Because sons and daughters, little boys and girls with a great big dad can dream big. So no matter what your circumstance is, we're praising from a place of what we can see. Gideon didn't win the battle from the place of his circumstance. He went up to the mountain and he praised from where he wanted to win victory from. Sometimes we're praising from our circumstance rather than praising from victory. It's time to raise. He says, come up here. I'll show you marvelous things. Come up here. Gideon came up here, and then he were called to be seated in heavenly places from glory to glory, upgrade to upgrade. So I believe that as church needs to rise and start actually praising, no matter what's going on here, we're praising from here. So Joseph, he journeys, and then all of a sudden, he finds himself as a son of inheritance, ruling and reigning through Pharaoh. What's he controlling? Grain? Harvest? What is that? Seed? Next one, David. David is out tending to the sheep or doing his father's business. What's he doing? He's being a son. So they come to Jesse's house looking for a king, and there's no one, there's still no spot at the table, and they said, there's still one more son here. So, and by the way, if you want these scriptures, Elijah was 1 Kings 19. I'm just kind of paraphrasing going through this. Joseph, Genesis 37 through 42. Now we're at David. At the dinner table, 1 Samuel 16. So we're going through this process and he's out being a son. And he says, you're going to be king. Now he was a young boy. He was a young boy. And he said, you're a son of blessing, you're going to be crowned king. But he couldn't go straight to here because he was a boy. He wasn't ready for it. He still had to learn. He went through several cities. He started in Bethlehem, learning to steward the natural. He learned to throw a slingshot. He learned to slay a bear and a lion. He learned to take care of his father's business, care for his father, play a harp, worship, turning his heart to the father. Did you know the stone? There's a word study. The Hebrew word for the stone he used to kill Goliath was Ab-Ben, father, son. On this rock we'll build our church. Jesus is the rock, but he's modeling what a son is. Ab-Ben, father, son, it killed the giant. So in Bethlehem, he's journeying through here. He's learning to steward the natural. Then he goes to Adullam. Adullam was his time of need. He's in a cave. 400 people come in a time of need. Now he's journeying through here. He falls to Bathsheba. His purity was tested in this place. Okay. Then he goes to Hebron, time of covenant. The 300 are coming from the 400 that were in need. So it's a time of covenant, relationships, cultivating relationships, stewarding those seeds that were given to you to do have a good ground. Then all of a sudden, he goes to Zion, where he rules and reigns. But in that season right here, he's learning to honor a man that's doing genocide, and he's learning to honor a man that didn't deserve the honor. He's learning, he's even convicted by taking a hem of his garment. Saul, he wants to kill him. He's jealous of him. He's the worst king ever. And here, David was so full of honor towards that man. Why? Because in here, he was learning to honor. This is a time of need. This is when we really have a need for God. If we go straight from here to here, first off, we don't have the character to withstand it. We don't have the fortitude. That's why James 1:2, it says, count it joy the trials you go to, because you're building perseverance. faith, patience, these things. You are building the character to be able to steward this once you get there. Many of us, we want to go straight from here to here, but if we did that, first off, we'd take it for granted because we never had a journey to appreciate it. Secondly, we wouldn't have the character to be able to steward it. We wouldn't have the integrity. David could steward this and was one of the greatest kings in Zion, was one of the greatest kings ever. Why? Because he was full of honor and he was a man after God's own heart, and he got that here. So, this, everybody wants, but this is what gets us here. When we can steward it, we can have it. And when we get there, our Father's saying, well done, good and faithful son. Jesus, the final one. So we had Elijah, we had Joseph, David, Jesus. So really, I don't need the whiteboard, I just need you to really see this. I usually, when I'm talking to somebody or tell them, I use this. So here to here, but it's in here that we build everything. So you just need to see that, the you. That's really good. The you. It's really good. I used to call it the V. I'm going to start calling it the U. Anyway, Jesus, the angel tells him, you're going to give birth to a son. Son of blessing. This was not easy. I mean, I really, the hardest part of this part for Jesus, the crucifixion. What he had to do, once he's ruling and reigning in heaven, once he ascended, once he conquered death, hell, and the grave, he became a son of inheritance. Could not distinguish him between man and animal. I got to be just really honest and graphic with you. After being a fireman for 15 years almost, I've seen a lot of stuff. We have highways that run through our city. We have trains. We have rivers. I've seen a lot of stuff. We get called out to sometimes for our fire hoses to clean things that need to be cleaned up, that are no longer salvageable. If you can understand what, if you're picking up what I'm putting down there. The boy that I recovered, the bodies that I found in the river, I have never once ran across somebody that I could not distinguish, even via train, via anything you could imagine. I have never ran across somebody that I could not distinguish between animal and man. That to me hits me a little heavier than some because I've seen those graphic things. I've seen gruesome stuff. I've seen some of the worst things you could imagine. But still, so now to picture what Jesus went through, he did it and he would do it again and he would do it just for you. He went from son of blessing to son of inheritance. See, I believe this. I believe that many of us, we want what other people have, but we're not willing to get there. Yesterday, I think I mentioned in one of the QAs, we're crying out, come Jesus, come. Come Jesus, come. We want revival. He already came. And he's saying, go people, go. We're praying for revival as if it's an event rather than just being the revival. See, he's calling us to hear, but sometimes our journey, I always call him a dot-to-dot God. You ever do the dot? My kids love dot-to-dots. So you know, at the end, then there's a picture. But wouldn't it be so easy if we could just go, whoop? Or like yesterday, I said, if it's in the Bible, I'm like praying to experience it. So teleportation, walking through walls, you know, walking on water. Every once in a while when I go to the ocean with my family, I'm like, ah. You know, I'm trying it because my faith's there. I'm one of these days I'm going to experience something really cool. I'm not yet walking into walls, okay? That could leave a mark, but maybe I should. But anyway, wouldn't it be easier if he just took us straight from here to here? And he may with some. Some people's journey may not get down to here. Some people's journey might be here. But no matter where this looks like, if we fast forward, we miss out on the greater blessing and the double portion. If we fast forward and we try to have what Pastor Perry has, but we're not willing to clean the toilets. Last week I went to our church and I cleaned the toilets. And I mean, I cleaned the toilets. I was on my hands and knees in the urinal. I was like getting down under and getting all stuff. The cleaning people don't get that one, you know. Why? Because I'm willing to pay the price here. I'm willing to stay humble. I'm willing to stay hungry. I believe hunger is a sign of humility. And I want all of Him. I've tasted and seen that He's good. And I want more. And I don't care what it takes to get there. Sometimes we think the journey is this, but really, God's journey in our life is like, whoa, hey, woo, I'm feeling good. Oh, I'm almost there. We want this. But sometimes we got to go through this. But I'll tell you this, whenever we get here, in those moments we experience it daily, the moments we experience it weekly or monthly, or wow, God's so good. And it could just be the revelations of His goodness. We may have financial problems, but still be reigning in Zion. It's worth it. No matter what we go through, this is worth it. I just want to finish with this story. I believe there's something powerful with impartation of sonship. And I believe there's something powerful with the spirit of adoption. So you have the prodigal story. And I've always looked at the story about a prodigal son. Really, it's a story about a loving father. So you had two sons in the house. One was an orphan and didn't think he belonged, so he left. One was in the house but didn't think he was worthy and couldn't earn enough, so he was a slave and still in the house. But you see the picture where they're having the party. He won't even go into the house, and he sends a servant to go ask to see what's going on. Neither one felt they belonged in the house. One was because it was an orphan spirit, and one because they were a slave. So you can be in the house and still not be a son of inheritance and want what the Father's blessing is because you think you're a slave, you think you have to earn it, you think you have to prove yourself, and, well, if I give a great word or if I heal somebody, then I'll be worth it. That's a bad system. And I know it's not the system of the heart of this house. I can just sense that. I feel that. But yet then there's still people in our house, in our church that said, well, we're not worthy. We don't belong. None of us are worthy, but He died so we are worthy. I'm not worthy. I was a drunk atheist fireman. But something happened, but God. He made me worthy, and He's making me worthy. He's perfecting me in His image, which is perfect. It's without blemish. So all of a sudden, the prodigal son, he leaves. And I just want to encourage you with this story. It was in the hog pen where it said he came to himself. It was in the hog pen where he said he came to his senses. When he came to himself, here's what my proposal in the book that I'm writing includes. When he came to himself, he came back to the design nature God had intended for him to be. When my baby's born, although she's born into a sinful world, she's not yet been impure to the sense to where she's believing lies of who she's not. She's in her design nature, but it's things of the sinful world that come in to make her believe otherwise, and now suddenly she's no longer in her divine nature of who she was intended to be. I cancel that. That's like an example, but not my daughters. We're going to love them no matter what. So he came to his senses. He came to himself. He came to the revelation of who the Father was. And I believe this. I believe the spirit of adoption came down in the way of an impartation in that hog pen, and he came to his senses, he came to himself. He had a revelation, he had an experience with the Father, Abba Father, Heavenly Father, to where he came to himself. Now suddenly, ooh, I am. I'm a son. I'm a beloved son. I'm a beloved son. When Jesus was baptized, the Father called out, "This is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased. Beloved Son. Beloved Son." The dove came and rested on him. See, when you're marked, it's not just for an event. When you're marked, it's not just for a one-time deal. All of a sudden, a dove came down. Pigeon religion comes and goes, and it leaves a lot of messes. But when a dove comes, he comes for habitation, not just visitation. Pigeon comes, and they just go from place to place figuring out. We've had love doves at our house for the last 6 years. Every day through the summer, almost, we see them. When they come and stay. When the dove came, he rested on him, and he stayed. It was habitation, not just to be marked for an event, but for a lifestyle Christianity. So he came to himself, and then next he's journeying back to the house. He's figuring out what he's going to say. He's rehearsing this, and the Father comes out of the house, breaks every culture of that time, lifts up his dress thing, runs. He would have had to if he was going to run, and in that culture, you did not run. And it was never the Father. There's a tradition to where if the son returned, only the mother could come back, greet him with a kiss, and send him off. The father broke every cultural rule of that time, ran after him, embraced him. It was a story about a father and a son. Here's proof of why he became imparted with the spirit of adoption. If not, he would not have been able to receive the sandals, the ring, the coat, the love, the party, the fatted calf. Because an orphan can't receive those things because they don't feel they're worthy. But God has called us to be worthy. He's called us to live here, no matter what's going on here. We just can't fast forward and take it for granted. We count this joy. We count this glory. Why? Because no matter what happens here, it doesn't matter if I didn't rescue that boy. It doesn't matter how I'm feeling. It doesn't matter what my emotion is. It doesn't matter if I feel like praying that day. God's good. It doesn't matter what people have said about me. It doesn't matter the lies that have come in. God's good. That's the truth. That's what matters. That's the heart of the Father. So it doesn't matter what the cultural rules are. The Father's running after you. He's breaking out of the house, and he's waiting with open arms for his sons and daughters to arise, to come to their senses, to experience the spirit of adoption. So the thing I'd love to do today is just pray for you. If you could stand, I just want you to put your hands on your heart, and then I'll turn it back over to the pastor. This place right here, I call this pursuit and seeking. That's the mess. Some people might look at it as trials, circumstances, bad stuff. I look at it as the pursuit and the seeking. I focus on what God is doing rather than what He's not doing. So in my eyes, this is the pursuit and seeking. It might just look messy at times. The pursuit and seeking, see, I believe there's power in a pursuit. The Son, although He came to His senses, although I believe He experienced Abba Father's embrace in that hog pen, He still had to come out and go to His home where He belonged. Jesus, even though He was resting in the boat and the waves and the chaos and all these things are going on in our lives and the disciples are flipping out, Jesus still had to come up and He still had to speak a word to the waves and the wind to get them to stop. See, the root of God is go. Turn it around, do it backwards, it's do. But we can only do that if we're being. The doing always comes from the being. Then you have. And that's just something I've learned. I'm telling you, the momentum, the acceleration. Next Saturday, I get to have dinner with an NFL pro bowler, 2-time Super Bowl winner, got a hold of me and said, hey, let's hook up. I'm going to be in Cincinnati. I'm a fireman. I'm a pastor of a smaller church. There's only a couple hundred of us. But God has called me to big things. See, but all of this, all these doors being opened up, the acceleration of the dead being raised, the acceleration, I mean, in our church, we'll have 30, 40 healings almost every week. People are coming in. We're having Pink Sunday in a couple weeks, and we have waged war against cancer. Literally, in our worship services, we've had tumors just dissolve, fall out, big lumping tumors just dissolve. All of that is from this seeking. All of that is from this pursuit of being. I'm sorry if I go lengthy. I'm finishing. Let me just paint a picture of a son. I worked at an apple orchard for years, like starting at 10 years old. I worked there for 5 years, from the time I was 10 to 15. Learned to drive a car there before I was even legal. We had apples everywhere, and part of the thing that we did in the winter was the pruning and all that stuff. Because the pruning, this part, always makes you stronger. But when we would harvest, when we would get the apples, there's really three ways to get apples. There's get the stuff on the bottom, and I believe that is the way of thinking that I'm a son. I get everything. It all belongs to me. Well, really, you're only getting what's falling off the tree, and that's usually rotten fruit. That's, even though I'm a spiritual son of Leif Hetland, when I first came into relationship with him, I had to learn that, oh, this relationship, this door that just opened up, it doesn't just automatically give me everything. If I do that, I'm only going to be like him, and there's no way I'm going to get his results because I've not paid his price. So that's standing under the tree just waiting for fruit to fall. And I know for a fact the only fruit that falls from an apple tree is the rotten fruit that I don't want anyway. The other way, so I believe that's orphan thinking. That's the orphan thinking. I don't have to do anything. It just belongs to me. Then there's the third way. I'll skip the second for now. It's you got to get a cherry picker, and you got to get a ladder, and you got to go through all this work and get to the top and get to places that's really hard to get. And that takes so much time. You're not breaking any record bushels by doing that. And I believe that's the slave, that you have to work for it. You have to earn His grace. You have to perform for it. You have to heal. You have to preach. You have to do all these things. But then my favorite way is sonship. And that's where I just reach up, I grab what's mine, I twist, and it's mine. It's the fruit of sonship. It's easy. It's not being ungrateful. It's not being out of disrespect of, well, everything that the Father is mine. I don't have to do anything. I just believe that's erring on the side of greasy grace. Slave is I have to earn it. And I believe that's erring on the side of legalism to the far end. But right in the middle is love because we're sons. I'm in a hog pen. Although this is the pursuit and the seeking, I'm in a hog pen coming to myself. And I'm just receiving what's mine. And I'm an appreciative son because I know who I am. And I know my dad is the King of Kings. Kings. I'm a son. Jesus is a son. Might mess with you. He's my big brother. I'm not Messiah. I can't be that. That's Him. It's only one place for Him. But He's my big brother. I'm a son of God. When He's the King of Kings, who are the kings? We're kings and queens. He's called you to be sons and daughters. So I just want to pray for the spirit of adoption that Galatians 4, Romans 8 references. Paul, he's mastered it. He's talked about it. He's imparting that to Timothy and others. So God, I thank You for Your spirit of adoption. I thank You that today there'll be a revelation of sonship. There'll be a revelation of who we are because we know whose we are. There'll be a revelation that we don't have to earn grace. We don't have to earn Your love. We don't have to earn sonship. At the same time, God, we're not going to take for granted where You've called us to be and that You're just giving it. Now we just receive. Grace doesn't require work, but it's not opposed to effort, God. So we just step out into our destiny, and when we do that, You're calling us from sons of blessing to inheritance. So we receive. So God, today I just pray for Your impartation of the spirit of adoption. I pray for Your impartation for sonship and daughtership. I pray for just waves of Your liquid love to flow in this place right now. Just picture yourself right now with the Father. Just picture Him embracing you. Just imagine yourself crawling up on His lap. Just something, just as a little boy or a little girl. Just right now, He's wanting you to come to your senses, coming to yourself as a little boy or a little girl with a great big dad. Just for a moment here, just close your eyes and picture the Father embracing you some way. Maybe you're walking through a field. Maybe He's tickling you. Just picture that. He's embracing you. He's welcoming you into His family. He's a good Father. Yeah, I feel like there's just encounters wanting to break out here right now. And just ask the Father to do something fun with you. Take His hand. Just go on a journey right now. Just for a moment. Just for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. God, I just pray that as we leave here, this is just a seed that's planted that grows a harvest. That You water it, you provide the sun to it to grow it. God, I just pray right now that even through the night You'll encounter us. Dreams, angelic visitations, holy encounters, God. I just pray for just a sonship to just revive this region. Just a heart of being, a heart of being still and knowing Your God, a heart of just knowing how good You are, what a good Father You are. That it's the goodness of You that lead men to repentance, God. It's the goodness of a Father. It's the Father's hearts turning to the children turning to the Father. We just pray that over this region, God. I just pray for encounters and sonship and just Your spirit of adoption. Thank You. We bless You, Father. Thank You. Thank You.
we do that, I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward, and we want to just sow in. If you'd like to give into the ministry with Pastor Aaron and his family and the church down there, you can write a check. You can just make it out to Marian Christian Center. We're going to accumulate it and give it all. Give it to him. But we also am going to ask our personal ministry team to come forward. These are ones that will be up front here to pray with you about anything you would like prayer for. You know, one of the biggest steps, as Pastor Aaron was sharing, you know, it all starts with Jesus. Maybe you've never received, never asked Jesus to be your Savior. This day, let that be that day if that's never happened. These ones are available throughout this morning. I encourage you to go and, as Aaron shared with us, go and be the sons and daughters of God. Let His love, let His love be imparted, be the church. So God bless. Ryan's going to lead us in a song and close us in prayer.
Father, help us to embrace our role as sons and daughters. Nothing that we've done, nothing that we can strive for, but it's just because you love us. Give us strength to carry on. Help us to not be the same. Help us to move into the destiny you have for us, God. Thank you for this weekend, and thank you for all the encouragement that you've given us, God. Thank you for the movements that you've made in Marian, in all the places that all of our friends came here from. They would take it home, and that this would be the start of something new, something big here in Marian, God. We love you, God. Special thanks to the Hanoverton teams. You guys are awesome. Let's give them a hand. It drove a long way. Thank you, guys.